Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that misery gold.
Whenever you hear Brother Marley calling for Stand Up for Your Rights, you know, here on the Mark Steiner Show, it's time for Rose Aguilar, looking at Stand Up for Your Rights around the country. She's host of Your Call Radio at KALW in San Francisco. Rose, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's take a look at where people are standing up across the country.
Yes.
Where do you want to start us?
Well, let's see. Why don't we start on the March on Washington, because that was a huge event that took place this week. And it just so many marches happened across the country. There were a dozen rallies in North Carolina alone. And, you know, a lot of people wanted to bring up the fact that this is really about the economy and jobs. And, you know, a lot of the media say March on Washington, but it's actually March on Washington for jobs and freedom. I'm sure you've talked about
that's
this
right
all week.
Correct.
Yeah. So they wanted to bring up some stats that they thought would be buried in the national news and at the rally. And so they talked about things like the economic gap between whites and blacks has not budged in 50 years, and wages are stagnant. I mean, your listeners know all about this, but it's important to note that there was a lot going on outside of D.C. also across the country.
And the thing in Washington was interesting. We have talked a lot about that on the show over the last week because of what it means in that 50th anniversary. And we were there on Saturday. And what we said in the air was interesting, Rose. I don't know if you've covered this out in the West Coast or not this way, but that despite the kind of controlled environment of the speakers and what they had to say, and we know that the Dream Defenders and others were not allowed to speak on Wednesday as well, at the one put on by the Obama White House, that it was the people who were there that made the difference. Because when you were there, there were working people who came from thousands of miles to be there, Dream Defenders from Florida, families from Chicago and South Carolina and from across America, families with little children, young people in their teens and 20s, people who were standing up to say, we're here for a new America. That was what was inspirational about that. Not necessarily what was going on in front of the Lincoln Memorial, but what was going on among the people who were there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also when you talk about the speakers, a lot of people are saying if Martin Luther King were alive today and he still had the same values, would he have even been invited to speak at his own rally?
That's a good – no one said that yet. That's a good one, though. I like that.
Yeah. Why not? Because you know he'd be talking about drones and Syria and military spending. I mean, Mark, as we're seeing all of these budget cuts, the Washington Post just had this really great piece about – how much is being spent on the NSA and the CIA? I mean, we're talking $53 billion this year alone. And so he would be talking about things like that, and they would have cut his mic, and you know it. I mean, that's what, so I love reading about the history of the march, because the DOJ had a switch in Washington 50 years ago, and they decided that if things got a little too radical, they'd flip the switch and music would automatically come on.
Exactly right. That's
so
right.
I just love these little tidbits that happened back then that, you know, don't get much attention, but they're out there. There's just, you know, you have to read about it or watch a documentary or listen to a good radio show.
Or listen to a good radio show. We're gonna queue up this clip that comes from Las Vegas with a fast food wage protest going on around the country. Let's listen to this and talk about what happened all over America, what's happening in Baltimore, San Francisco, and across the nation.
For many fast food workers, low pay is, and it comes with what some say are consequences.
I want to study and get a degree, better myself, but currently at $8.50, that's not a possibility.
Minimum wage $8.25. I mean, you don't really seem to move up.
Union organizers who are not representing the workers helped stage Thursday's demonstrations outside two McDonald's and one KFC location. As far as the organizers are concerned, the fast food workers' salaries should nearly double to around $15 an hour.
I can't tell you exactly where the 15 comes, but the $15 an hour is nowhere near the amount of the billions of dollars that these corporations are bringing in.
UNLV economics professor Jeffrey Wadups agrees that the current Nevada minimum wage of $8.25, which is about a dollar more than the national minimum wage, is not anywhere where it should be.
If the minimum wage had been indexed to the productivity in the economy, it would be about $18.50 an hour now.
Nobody expects that to happen.
This clip was from Fox 5's KVVU at Las Vegas, but this happened across America. These fast food strikes, Rose, are going on constantly now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is amazing. The SEIU, which organized yesterday's action, said it was the largest protest ever to hit the fast food industry. 60 cities, about 1,000 fast food joints. They're calling for union representation and $15 an hour. Now, what's really important about this story, and I'm noticing that the media narrative is finally changing, because a couple of weeks ago, the NewsHour had a debate about minimum wage and raising the minimum wage. And this guy from the Wall Street Journal, I mean, the conservatives love to say, you know, they don't need a raise because they're all teenagers. And he got away with saying, my son works minimum wage and he doesn't need a raise. And of course, the liberal on the panel said nothing and the host said nothing. Well, he's wrong. And this is the facts on this are finally getting out. The LA Times reported, and I'm so glad they did this, that the median age for fast food workers is higher than 28. For women, it's 32.
Wow.
And low jobs are among the fastest growing in the country. So every time you hear the economy's back, I mean, these are service low-wage jobs, but you hardly hear that in the coverage. And then the Economic Policy Institute has some new numbers, and they found that the average age for minimum wage earners is 35, 88% are 20 or older, 56% are women, 28% have kids, and on average, they're earning half of their family's total income. So this is not, it used to be true a couple decades ago, maybe three or four decades ago, that most minimum wage workers were teenagers or maybe early 20s, but now they're working adults, taking care of their families.
Those are amazing statistics. I mean, because I think that is the switch. I mean, the people cannot find decent jobs, so they're moving into these low-wage industries just to survive, and that's what we don't get. We keep thinking that this is somehow the conservatives and other people will say, business will say, these are just entry-level jobs or they're just for young people, but neither is the case.
Right, exactly. And there's no possible way that you can feed a family on minimum wage. And the thing is, there's no way to really go up the ladder. That's the problem. That's what a lot of people said yesterday. You know, I'd love to find a better job. I'd love to get a raise or be promoted. But when you're in some of these jobs, you're kind of stuck. But people have no other option. I mean, especially if you're living in a small town where, you know, Walmart has decimated the mom and pop, you basically have your options are Walmart, McDonald's, or the military. And what are you going to choose?
Many people are going to choose the military.
Exactly.
So they can find a decent place to live and work and have money to put in the bank.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's probably what I would choose. I mean, when I took a road trip, that's what everybody in the Mississippi Delta told me. We have no options, and that's the problem. So, I mean, the other problem here, and this is for another story, another show, is that we just need a massive switch in the way that the economy works. I mean, how is this sustainable? That's what I don't understand. I think people are going to have to start talking about this. I don't know when. Soon, I hope. But how are these low-wage jobs sustainable? They're not. That's the big problem. And the other thing is, you know, these fast food joints, restaurants, multinationals now, I mean, they're making massive profits. McDonald's just made $5.5 billion in profits. And so you've got these corporations going on the radio saying, if we give people a raise, we're going to have to fire them because we can't afford it. Well, $5.5 billion in profits, and you can't afford to give people a decent salary? And that's their 2012 annual report.
Now, that's why I think across the nation you're seeing this. I think the power of this is that the unions are not just targeting a company. They're going across the board in different locations saying, for one day we're going to stop work, to bring this to people's
exactly.
attention and to force the issue, which is an interesting
right.
kind of strategy that they're using around America.
Also important to mention the profits, because I've been reading a lot about this, and I'm noticing that profits of these multinational fast food places are not included in the story, and neither is CEO compensation. So actually, I'm just looking at this. McDonald's gives their new CEO a pay bump. Oh, here we go. Let's look at how much their CEO, Don Thompson, makes. $13.8 million a year.
That's how much?
13.8.
Billion. Oh my God.
I mean, really. This should be in the headline, you know, next to the woman who's quoted making, what, $8-$9 an hour, if she's lucky.
So I want to switch gears for a moment. I'm going to play a short clip because we didn't get a chance to talk about this enough last time, and I wanted you to kind of be able to tell us more about what's going on in Wisconsin. This is a brief clip from the demonstrations continuing in Wisconsin, people singing. Here it goes. That was the sound of three police officers tackling one man who was for singing in the state capital of Wisconsin. What is going on there? Why is this happening? What is happening?
Yeah, this is actually really amazing. Hundreds of people have been arrested in the last month for going to the Capitol and singing. And they're being charged with unlawful assembly for not obtaining a permit to be in the Capitol. And the police are issuing $200 citations. What you have to do is get a permit with more than 20 people. And, you know, I mean, these people say, look, we're in the Capitol singing about how we disagree with the governor's policies, and they're arresting people. What's amazing is they're arresting firefighters. Cops actually went into the Capitol this week holding a sign saying that we're behind you. So you've got members of the Madison Police Department protesting the Capitol PD's arrest of peaceful protesters. The raging grannies are getting arrested. These are these, you know, older women who sing peace songs. This week, a 14-year-old named Lydia Starkey got arrested. And they're arresting journalists. Matthew Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, got arrested. This week, also a top union official got arrested. I mean, this is just continuing. And I'm hoping that this gets more attention because my thing is, you know, I always compare these things to the Tea Party. And if you had hundreds of Tea Partiers arrested in a state capitol, you can bet it's the national news by now.
Do you think so?
Oh. 10 of them got arrested, it'd be national news.
It's true. But
yeah, the thing is, they're still making noise in Wisconsin because things have not stopped there. I mean, the governor is still on a rampage in that state, and that's why people are so angry. And they decided, well, let's do it, you know, as nonviolently as we can, right? How much more nonviolent can you get besides singing? And they're still being arrested.
So, and I mean, what's underlying this? Is it the union issues? Is it what's pushing the people for pushing this?
Oh, I think it's so much. It's the unions. It's attacks on women. It's I mean, there's so many issues happening in Wisconsin. Things just haven't changed there. But the problem is because you don't have thousands of people shutting down the Capitol. It's almost like the issue has disappeared.
So we only have like 5 minutes left, Rose, and there are two things I want to try to get to very quickly. One is what happened in Massachusetts. But first, could you tell us about talk about the young undocumented workers in Arizona escalating protests. What's going on there very quickly?
Yeah, so there's these young people are still crossing the border and then coming back into the United States to make a statement about immigration reform, basically saying, we're students. We want to go to college. We want real reform. And, you know, frankly, things are not moving in Washington for obvious reasons. But last week, six people were arrested. They marched around a federal immigration detention center. Four of them chained themselves to the fence outside. And then they blocked a bus that takes immigrants out of the center, apparently on their way to deportation. And the New York Times says that many were young people who, you know, came here as kids and don't have the legal papers. Six people were arrested and charged with trespassing. They were all freed, and no immigration proceedings were open. But they say that they're going to continue this to make a statement because so many families' lives are being broken. And as so many people know, I hope, President Obama has deported more people than everyone else combined. I mean, and President Bush really cracked down, but President Obama is cracking down even harder. And so these people say, our lives are on the line, and we need real reform.
You also sent us something about very quickly about the fundamental place in New York City in Harlem, where hundreds of people took to the streets after the beating death of Islam Nettles, who was a 21-year-old transgender woman. What happened there?
Yeah, this is just such a sad story, and this just came out this week. You know, the ACLU has a piece about just how difficult it is to be trans, and after Bradley Manning made an announcement that he's going to be Chelsea Manning, I was actually pretty happy to see the mainstream look at how difficult it is to be transgender. I mean, especially in jail, because, you know, I've been looking into this, Mark, but I don't think there is a military jail for women. I just don't think that exists. And this morning, Chelsea Manning's lawyer said that she's actually being welcomed by people who say that they're going to accept her for who she is in jail. And, you know, I was kind of concerned because I thought, gosh, what is she going to go through in this prison? But this woman, Islan, was brutally beaten, and on Friday, August 23rd, she was taken off life support. And this death just comes 1 month after reports of the murder of Diamond Williams, another transgender woman of color in Philadelphia. And the National Coalition on Anti-Violence reports that 73% of all anti-LGBT homicide victims in 2012 were of color. 53% were transgender women. I had no idea it was so high.
I did not either. And we had shows about that last week. I didn't even see that statistic, but we'll use that to really think about where this is going. And Rose, I'm sorry, we only have like 90 seconds left, and we did not get a chance to talk about Somerset. But if you can give us a quick wrap-up of Somerset, that would be great.
Yes, so I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is 80 people are on a six-day walk to rally for the closure of Massachusetts' largest coal and gas plant. They want it to be replaced with an offshore wind farm. Very strange timing, Mark, because yesterday, hundreds of gallons of diesel, a fuel linked into a harbor that's the nation's leading fishing port. So authorities still don't know how this diesel fuel leak happened, but this is just really giving these marchers a lot to talk about, because they're saying it's time to shut down these plants. They're just too dangerous. And these things are happening all across, these marches are happening all across the country.
You've been listening to this conversation. We call it Stand Up for Your Rights with Rose Aguilar.
Yes.
Host of Your Call at KALW in San Francisco. Rose, thank you so much once again.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Have a good weekend.
Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a very brief break. When we come back, we're going to honor Thurgood Marshall. Conversation with Larry Gibson. Stay with us.
Take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on your earth. And now you see the light. Just stand up for your rights. Yeah. Get up, stand up. Yeah. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up.
We can't give up the fight.
Stand up for your right.
Lord, Lord.
Get up, stand up.
Keep us struggling on.
Don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
We're sick and tired of your easy. You can't.